Welcome back to the Woodbury Report. I'm Lon Woodbury, an independent educational consultant located in North Idaho. All the interviews in this series can be found at strugglingteens.com, along with 26 years of essays, visit reports, and press releases relating to the network of private parent choice residential schools and programs working with teens and young people making poor decisions. Today is September 2nd, 2015, and we're going to talk about millennials. My guest is Jason Cox. Good afternoon, Jason. Good to have you here.
It's great to be here, Lon.
Jason is the Director of Business Development for Brightstone Transitions, located in Northern Georgia. And they work with young adults, the millennials that we've been talking about. So, the title is, What Do Millennials Really Need? And let's start with, what are they all about? What's happening with the millennials?
Well, I think it's Lana, I think it's an interesting time to be growing up, especially for our young people. I think that things change so fast. I think technology has just really made it from where the consistencies that that I think that were there in the past. Things change so quickly that I think a lot of our young people have to adapt quicker and have to do it in such a way that even as a world, we're not sure exactly what we need to do. And, that, you know, I think one of the things that that's happening for them is just that change and that lack of consistency that's going on in their lives is one of the things that's one of the bigger things that's going on for our millennials.
I think along that same line, it's just sort of a lack of generational consistency because the technology, that's a magic word, that's a big change that's been going on. The young people are familiar with it, and the adults that are supposed to be guiding them are not. And so it's the inmates are running the asylum a little bit, I think. And so that's making it very difficult for millennials because they can't look to the adults for as much guidance as past generations did. Is that a fair statement?
I think that's spot on, Lon. I mean, I think that usually have, like in the past, you'd have someone who would guide you and talk to you about these things. You know, with the adults, I mean, even with our young people, they're going to be better at it, the technology, than we are. And to be able to give advice on it, it's kind of hard, especially in specific instances or things that we might not even know about yet. So they are kind of the wild west of the technology, and they're still trying to grow up and be young adults.
Yeah, and the executive functioning isn't the best. The prefrontal cortex is non-existent or not very well developed, all those kind of things. So what have you been seeing there at Brightstone? Kids are coming in, you get kids with problems. So could you think of an example or two of some kids that you've seen recently that moved in there and enrolled in your program, and what their problems were, why were they sent to the Brightstone?
Yeah. Well, I think, with our particular kid, I think one of the biggest things that we see is them isolating from the world. That technology, I think they all of our young people are yearning to be connected. However, I think the way that they're choosing to connect or the way they've learned to connect is through technology, which, in some instances can be great and amazing and healthy. In other ways, though, it can be isolating, lonely, and not fulfill the needs that they have. So a lot of our young people that come in, I think the biggest thing is, that technology is their kind of connection to the world. However, it's not allowing them to connect in ways that is healthy for them or even necessarily as they want to. But I think a lot of our kids, our young adults, see that as the only way that they can connect.
So it almost sounds like you're describing kids that are very lonely, surrounded by people and very lonely.
Yeah. I mean, and that's what I mean. And I think that I felt like what we see, and I'm no expert on addiction or any of those things, but like what it looks like, is that they get so attached to the computer because that's their only lifeline to the world. But they just don't have the actual social skills and the belief that they can go out and connect with the world. And they're very frightened of, afraid by what's going to happen or if there's going to be another failure. So technology provides that protection, but also creates a limiting factor to them to see the world.
I think you're describing your kids there, but in a lesser manner. I think that might apply to all millennials. They're all a little bit less connected. They're all a little bit less influenced by guidance. And so the ones that you are the more extreme. Is that be a fair statement, though? All the millennials are suffering to a greater or lesser extent from this?
I think so. I was just trying to going through it in my own life. You know, I think that I know more about all of my high school friends than my parents ever knew. But doesn't mean I talk to them more. I just see it on Facebook. You know, I think that in some ways that it's you're a lot less likely to reach out to connect with people because you kind of already have a feeling of what's going on outside of your circle, if you will.
So what do you mean outside your circle?
I think for the most part you have your friends and the people that you like hang out with and are with every day that you work with and that you see, and then you have and then you have like ancillary people that are in your life that come in and out that aren't part of your daily or weekly routine that you kind of get a feel for what they're doing because you can see it in technology or you can text and stuff, but you don't actually connect, if you will, you know. So, in that way, I think you're somewhat more connected and somewhat less connected. You have more of a feeling what's going on, but you might not have that interpersonal relationship that could be stronger.
It would be a way to describe that in other words is that your knowledge or your context is broader than in past generations, but much more shallow.
Yeah, I think that'd be fair.
Okay.
In some instances, yeah, definitely.
So what do you do with these kids? Teach them some life skills or some things, but what do you find has worked to help these kids get back into reconnected and not feel so lonely or disconnected?
It's getting out there in the world, being actually out there instead of preparing. I think one thing with this, as we become smarter with the different diagnoses and smarter with, being able to know the different ways to address people in a more healthy way. I think one of the things we train, but we don't actually apply that stuff. You know, just getting out there and doing it and having people around you that are supportive but also getting out there into the community and getting out there and meeting people. I mean, I think just meeting somebody, introducing yourself is such a lost art.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we don't have to do that. We have...
I bet the first thing you do is to leave the smartphones and the computers back home.
They are. They do. We ask our young people to come up with a usage plan. We don't ban them because the way the world is, they're going to have them, you know.
Yeah.
But instead of just sitting there preparing for life, we want to go out there and do it, you know. The first thing that we teach all of our people, whether it be staff or our young adults, is, you know, how to go out there and introduce yourself and tell about yourself, you know, tell your story.
I imagine that would be a little bit scary to them.
Oh, it's terrifying. It's terrifying for most people, whether they're, you know, I think we've become so, I think with how you were saying earlier, where there's a little bit shallower connectedness in a lot of ways, mm-hmm. I think that people are used to just coming in and saying these, introducing yourself and then, you know, talk about the weather. You know, that's something that's always been around. It's not just this generation. But how do you actually find connection with people? How do you put yourself in situations where you can find connections with people?
It sounds like what's been happening in the past. You see somebody, you say hi, how you doing, and they say hi, fine, and that's the extent of it. It sounds like. Social media has sort of helped them to get that. That's where tends to be the rule anymore.
Yeah.
And I
think just...
Go ahead.
And I think just helping, with our kids, we call it the three questions. You know, you have the first one, the second one's kind of, how are you doing after the introduction? And then the third one, you know, figure out something about the other people, you know, really connecting, something that you can't get from a Facebook post or technology, something what's going on in their world.
meaningless, something like, hey, I really like your smile, or maybe the way you dress, or something that gets a little bit more into them, or some of their behavior that you've noticed?
Yeah, just something that they can start up a conversation that can be something more than, you know, just the ancillary stuff or the fluffy stuff, if you will, you know?
Mm-hmm. The fluffy stuff is interesting because if somebody says, how are you, and you start telling them, they won't know how to react to it because it doesn't all hardly ever happens.
Yeah, well, I have a quick story. One of our young people, she started off with college this last week, and she was coming back and talking. At the end of the day, we just talked about our days and just sit around, and she was saying, some boy just kept asking me, he asked me about the weather and asked me how I was doing and where I was from, and I just got up and walked away. I didn't know what he was wanting, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but you know, it was obvious to us, you know, from her telling the story. You know, the young man just wanted to talk to her and say hello, and was trying to set up a conversation. But she was worried that he was, there was some malicious part to it, and one of our staff was actually sitting there watching the interaction, and you know, it was just him trying to be nice and start up a conversation.
So when we get into it, somebody being friendly becomes a threat. Oh, that would be isolating. Well, we've about ran out of time. I'd like to spend about a half a minute or a minute. Tell me about, or tell our listeners about, Brightstone Transitions. You work with young adults, but what do you do, and where are you, and how, if they, somebody had any questions, how could they get a hold of you?
Okay, yeah, thanks. So we're a young adult transitions program located just north of Atlanta. We work with young adult men and women, age 18 to 26. You know, and our ideal client is that young person who's a rigid thinker, who is socially awkward, who just needs some help getting out into the world. And our kind of our way of doing things is independence through application. We do a community integration model, which really means that we have two houses, but we get out into the world and help our young people start establishing themselves, similar to what we're talking about today, and building that sense of community, and really help them go step by step and making earning their independence.
Okay, and your contact information?
My contact information, we can be reached on our work phone, which is 1-336-971-3434, or at my email, which is jason@brightstonetransitions.com. That's BRIDHTSTONE transitions, TRANSITIONS.com.
Oh, all right. Well, very good. Well, this is Lon Whitbury, an independent educational consultant, and we've been talking with Jason Cox. He's the Director of Business Development at the Brightstone Transitions in Northern Georgia, and we've been talking about millennials and trying to answer the question in this short period of time, what do millennials really need? Well, thank you very much, Jason. I enjoyed talking with you.
Thank you, Lon.